things that I continually ask the Lord throughout the week. That He help someone with a devotion. That He help and direct Tim in selecting and carrying out his duties. And that He helps you in preparing and giving you a heart to receive these things. There are other things, many other things, but those are in every week prior. If you would, turn back with me to the last verse, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And if we complete this verse today, it brings us to chapter 3, if the Lord is willing to continue to open the book here. And if so, verse 1 is a verse that I have used a great number of times. And if the Lord would have us deal with it, I want that which is fresh and not some repetition of things past. We will wait on that and see. Would you bow with me as we continue, I trust, a worshipful service in calling upon His dear name. Gracious Lord, we with very thankful hearts bow before Thee, knowing that we do not have an outpouring of Thy Spirit in this day, that we do not have a great attendance by Him in preaching and in ministering to souls, but that we do have, we are very thankful, for we have something that is to us a treasure that we long to see more of, have Him manifest Christ more, have Him exalt Thy name, and have Him bring us to Thy very feet. Would You grant that for us this day? Quieten our hearts and our minds such that outside distractions might not keep us from hearing the Word of God. Duties, that which life requires of us this afternoon, tomorrow, would You, Father, put them in a distant background and just let us in holy silence, thankfulness, a degree of adoration, and praise sit before Thee this day. Whether this be the 100th or the 1,000th time that we gather, let not familiarity distract. Let not our presumption, well, I am a Christian, everything is all right, let not that keep us from diligently applying ourselves in prayer now, in preparation of our hearts in hearing and in receiving. And will you grant us that which the great apostle said of a church, that you received it not as the word of men or of a man, but as it is the word of God. If that which is needed for these things to continue so this day, let us leave blessing Thy name. All for Christ's glory and for the edification of the saints here, and those that will receive it later. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Solomon's Song, chapter 2, verse 17. Verse 16, where we were, she is all absorbed, a consciousness only of her beloved, and in that a realization, I am His. An awareness that when there is this in her and in His church, He is there, for He feeds among the lilies. But in her life, so it is in ours, we go from a mountain, a closeness, an awareness of His presence, back into darkness, shadows, and absence of that which we were rejoicing in a little while back. So that's verse 17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I hope to deal with that, the daybreak and the shadows flee away. In doing so, two passages that I'll ask you to turn with me. Till the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn Why would you ask that of him? Come back from that place which you left. Turn around from what appears to me you walking away from where we were. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Hebrews chapter 10, and this probably would be the passage that all would turn to in speaking about shadows. That place where she now is, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And most would have you believe, and they're right to a degree, that the coming of Christ, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection did away with shadows. And that is true. But it did not do away with the experience of his children being at times in darkness, having shadows around. The only way you got a shadow is the sun is out and shining. Although the law was a shadow, when you go back and you read about all the sacrifices and the ceremonies, they were but types. They were but pictures. They were only a shadow of good things to come. But even in the Old Testament, every child of God had to see beyond that the sacrifice, beyond that of the sacrifice, to the real meaning and significance. They had to get to what the shadow represented, or they were not saved. Everybody that will be in heaven are all saved by one man and by one method. Hebrews 11:4. Though Christ was the fulfilling of what the shadows and types represented, no one will ever be in heaven that did not get beyond the shadow, even in the old economy. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How'd he do that? What made the difference in that he brought to God and that Cain brought? It wasn't so much in the animal that Abel offered, as it was the frame of his heart, the condition of his heart when he came to God. And seeing that that animal that he slew and offered as a sacrifice was unto God an excellent sacrifice, for he said, and God had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice. And God had not respect unto Cain. See, the person goes before the sacrifice. So God was always looking at the heart and what the heart realized when they were offering these sacrifices. So it was an excellent sacrifice because God saw his heart, knew that in his heart Abel knew what that sacrifice represented, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. By faith he offered. Noah built an altar. And he took of the clean beast and had offered a burnt offering. And the Lord smelled burning flesh creates an offensive odor. But God smelled because he knew in Noah's heart that the man was doing that as an offering unto God. And God smelled a sweet savor in Noah burning the clean animal. David said, Psalm 51, this I know, Lord, you desirest not sacrifices. You do not delight in burnt offering. If that's what you delighted in, that's what I'd be doing. But I know that when you ordain sacrifices and burnt offerings, that you had in mind that the sacrifice represented. That's all you wanted. I'd go out and take the best lamb I had, but I know that's not what you're looking for. I'd give you that. But if I don't give you that with a heart knowing what that lamb represents, then there's no delight in your heart of the work that I perform. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that's got clean hands, he that's got a pure heart, he that has not lifted up his soul to vanity. Where do you get that? Not from dead animals. They were but a shadow. And Christ said of Abraham, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That was some thousands of years before Christ was ever made known in a body. And yet, Abraham saw the day of Christ. And rejoiced. Second passage is the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 4. Until the shadows flee away, until the day break. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, God set a tabernacle for the Son. Psalm 19. And as the sun comes up in the east and runs its full course to the west, David said that's as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, all adorned. But he comes out of his chamber for his bride. Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise. So the day breaks. Until the day break. The day breaks when the sun rising in the east out of Bethlehem, Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the othermost parts of the world. That's the sun. So it was in the east as to the beginning of God's activity on earth. That was the sun rising. And the shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. That's the condition that Israel and the world was in, night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of God shone round about. That's the day breaking. But the glory of God shining round about them was during the night. But that was the sun rising. Capital S-U-N or S-O-N. So before the sun literally came up in Israel, heaven's announcement was, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The day's about to break. That also is the first day of creation. Light appeared, just like in Jerusalem, before the sun came up there or was created in Genesis chapter 1. So the birth of Christ was the S-U-N rising in the east. And it is said of him that he grew in wisdom and in stature with favor, in favor with God and in favor with man. That's the sun rising to the highest point in the day, noontime. And the Son of Man, the Son of God, is fully and completely developed. But from the sixth hour, noontime, until the ninth hour, the time of the evening sacrifice, darkness covered the earth, because men would not have him rule over them. They put out the light, as many have done in this their lifetime. They will never have another ray of light shining from God. Now, the one thing necessary absolute essential was that folk had to have sight to see the sun rising. And his rising brought to full light everything that the shadows represent. But now notice in our verse here, unto you that fear, reverence, literally being afraid, of God. But we've fixed a God that nobody is afraid of anymore. And the God we fixed is certainly not worthy of reverence and godly fear. There must be that before the Son of Righteousness ever arises with healing in his wings. No fear of God, no light. No soul will ever take a step towards Christ that has not been made guilty and condemned and helpless under the law of God. Nobody. He came to save sinners. That's God's definition of a sinner. Not mine or not yours. Fear of God's gone. The dealings of God have been done away with. We can get the sun to come up by saying some cute little prayer. But now those of you that might, and all the children of God will come to a reverence concerning the Son of Righteousness. But his coming up did not do away with the night seasons, the daytime, the shadows, for we all now see in part. So your life is made up of manifestations and departures. Tell me you know that. 1 minute Christ is real to your heart, the next minute you don't know. 1 minute it appears that you are walking in the sun beaming down upon you, and the next minute you've gone behind a cloud, a shadow. The very essence of Christianity, this means any of us that will ever see God in peace. The very essence of Christianity is a journey walking with Christ and on into God. On into God. And yet most can live today without any awareness of the presence of God. And if we might for a moment be a little concerned, we'll call one that can chat 30 minutes and do away with any concern you had. We're just not going to live in loneliness. And yet, God created you with a heart that the only time that loneliness will ever fully be filled is just with God. Nothing else. You don't need anything else. The Son is up. If any man be in Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Walking into God. Partakers of the divine nature. And yet the sad thing in our society today is that few, very few, know anything about night, day, shadows, sun shining, the sun not shining. As far as practical everyday experience, nobody will ever be saved until there is an experimental knowledge of you as a sinner. No one. That's what produces the fear and the trembling and the need for the sun to come up. But folks, we think that we've made such advancements in society that we have eliminated the darkness. And it's all about us. If the sun doesn't come up, we'll make our own sparks. We'll fill the stage with entertainment. We'll bring out the computers that can flash on a big screen. Activity. We'll get all excited about that which the church has adopted to entertain us. If the sun doesn't come up, we'll produce our own light to speak of a withdrawn spirit, or heaven being shut up, is to speak of that which is not needed today. We can advance without God's Spirit, without heaven being open. Listen to the weeping prophet. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that my prayer cannot pass through. You know anything about that? You get up and you know in your soul that you didn't make contact with God. You pushed your way through the prayer, but you knew there was no substance. You knew something was hanging over your head. You knew that God's face was not seen. You knew that God was not listening. Or David, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I want you to get from beyond this saying a few words and saying amen and giving God credit that He heard you. But I want you to know in your soul that when you spoke to God. And that when you spoke, you knew God heard you. Will this be every time? No. But until you are brought into something of that awareness, question whether or not God has come out from behind the cloud, whether or not the sun has risen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But we've taken God and we've taken grace out, and now we've placed in the hands of men that which rightly belongs only to God. It's not your choice. It's His. And taking God and grace out of it, we have destroyed the gospel. And the sun has not risen in this land in several generations. Now it has to a few souls. But we continue to plunge deeper and deeper into darkness. John 17. Until the day break. The word break in verse 17 of Psalm 2. Means to breathe or to speak. In John 17, Christ is in the day. See, He couldn't be a faithful, merciful high priest if He didn't know a thing about shadows. Night season. The sun not rising. You say, He is the sun. Yes. But His Father had to make His face known unto Christ for Him to be in the light. And in John 17, He is in the full light of His Father. Your journey will include days, night, seasons, shadows, doubts, and fear. But learn this in the night season. Job 35, none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Or the psalmist, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And at night, His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. God will command His loving kindness when I am in the sunlight. But when my life goes into the night season, but by faith I can recall what God was to me in the light, and in the night hours, His song shall be with me. At midnight, I will arise to give thanks unto Thee. Psalm 119. His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure the night, joy cometh in the morning. Here Christ is all alone. Don't know how many disciples might have been with him, if any. But he's all alone. He's not dealing with mankind. He is not at physical labor in healing, in breaking and multiplying the bread and the fish, in calming the storm. He's not at any of this. He's in the full light of his Father's glory. As with him, so with us. But as in his life, every day begins with darkness, whether it be salvation the first time, or a new day in which you walk with the Lord. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness, and listen now, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And on the second day, God completed his works and said, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And it goes all the way through to the sixth day, and the evening and the morning, nighttime and morning were the sixth day. But that's not on the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested. Now our passage. John 17, 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. For that's a union that's hard to grasp concerning a believer and believers one in him, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the sun went down in America, and we made our own sparks. And God said, or Christ said, the unity of a believer with us, the Son and the Father by the Spirit, the unity of believers together is a testimony to the world. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. My glory given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's not heaven, folks. That's an absolute. You will behold him. But it is your beholding him in his glory now that fits you for heaven. For in beholding his glory, you're changed from image to image. Father, I will, not a petition, it is the voice of authority as a king. I will that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's Christ in light. And now comes the sixth day of Christ's life. Darkness. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 18. before God rests on the seventh day, before the work of Christ is finished and he sits down on the throne of glory the seventh day, before the church is completed and is brought into the seventh day, you got Christ on the sixth day, in the sixth day. John 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples. Over the brook Cedron. That's that brook that carried all the waste out of the city. That which was left of the sacrificial animals was dumped into this stream. And the evening in the life of Christ begins on that sixth day. So he goes from the full light of the Father in 17, to entering the sixth day, passing over a brook that reminded him of all that he was. And would be. So he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples. How do you know it was the evening of the sixth day? Verse 3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches. You got to see where they're going, because it's nighttime. And the night continues. But in the rising of the sun the next day and the judgment of Christ beginning, there was for a short period of time light between he and his Father in those petitions that he made, until heaven's light was completely put out and darkness covered the land. You will go there. You will have day. You will have night. You will have the manifestation. And you will have the withdrawals of Christ in your life. Now the last part of the verse in Psalm 2:17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, your life, my life. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Be thou like a roe or young hart. That'll be the breaking of day. That'll be the beloved come skipping over the mountains. That'll be the beloved having removed all the shadows. And she's standing once again in the full light of the sun. But pay attention to her request. Be thou light. He already has been identified in verse 9 of this chapter as a roe or a young hart. And her request is this, as she sits waiting in the shadows for the break of day. as she sits in darkness, she's asking her beloved to be faithful to his character. This is what you said you were. This is what I am missing. Appear one more time to my soul in the nature and character of your being and heart. She's talking to her beloved in spite of who and what I am, and the probability of my fallen nature and sins having brought this darkness in my life and these shadows. Be faithful. When I was in complete darkness as a sinner, my sins and my corruption was all that I knew. You were faithful then. Don't let my sins now keep you away. Return. Folk, don't we often give the Lord cause to turn his face from us? Look, before you can ever ask that, be faithful. His faithfulness to you is dependent upon you getting to the place and condition of being or receiving a blessing from him. You becoming blessable. Evidently she's already there in asking him to turn. I tell you with a grieving and weeping heart, I do not know if there's enough God consciousness about us these days to even know that we have offended or grieved our beloved. I don't know. That we have offended our best friend. And I close in telling you this. God will strip you if you are a Christian, where you will be left without anything except Christ. And that which may be to my eternal destruction may be things that I substitute in Christ's place. I dare not trust the sweetest frame we sing, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For oft times those sweetest frames are produced by the Spirit of God. Many are, and yet I dare not trust. Winslow, Octavius Winslow said, anything, even if it be the blessed productions of the Spirit of God, which takes the place of Christ, will shut him out. And we've all got our idols. Every last one of us. It'll shut him out. Even the blessed productions of the Spirit of God, which take his place, shut him out from the soul, and that soul is in a dangerous place as far as the work of God's great salvation. Christ must be everything or nothing. And the last quote is from that old saint of God, used so mightily, John Knox. And the devil's temptations to him in his dying hour. Oh, if there's one place that we don't want shadows and night, it's that time. But this saint of God said, referring to what the devil told him, you have nothing to fear. The Holy Spirit has worked mightily in you in bringing the gospel to this land. But he knew that his salvation and right standing with God neither rested on his works nor the work of the Spirit of God within him. Nor rested on the works of the Spirit of God within him. And was grounded exclusively in the finished work of Christ. That's all you got. Well, I have such tender, warm feelings and emotions at times for him. Children. He and he alone. And the old saint said that was Satan's final grand masterpiece of temptation in his dying hour. He is a wise creature, far beyond that that all of us and all the children of God put together will ever attain unto. He is so deceptive. So as you go through the dark seasons, maybe at midnight you can rise and sing. Maybe in the dark hours you can know, not all the time is it my sins that drive him away. And even if they were, I can get myself back to a place where I can call upon him to be faithful to his person, to his character. And my prayer to him can be, you be that now that you said you were. A young heart. If you'll turn around, beloved, then the day will break and the shadows will flee away.